Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the men. Thank you that we have this special day to bless them. Lord, we give you glory for the fathers in our life that have meant so much to us. Lord, I know not everyone can say that, but Lord, many of us can. And fathers are special. Special people in special places. Special positions. Lord, just take the word today and feed us. Strengthen us. You tell us to be more like your son. So I encourage that growth in us today. Lord, this is the day that you've made. We're going to rejoice. Be thankful. Holy Spirit, minister to us. Use me as your vessel. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. As I just told you, I want to talk to you about the measure of a man. First Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look at two verses, 11 and 12. And if you're toting your Bible, you might want to just leave it there because we get back into 1 Timothy a few times. Say amen when you're there. Amen. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And it goes like this. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We live in a world that depends upon measurements, unchanging measurements. In fact, there are governmental agencies that perform tests to make sure that measurements are correct, right? That major companies that are selling products are doing it correctly. When you go to a gas station, you'll see a seal on the pump that will name a state agency that has guaranteed that you get a gallon of gas when you pay for a gallon of gas. Amen? Exacting measurements. What if that measurement was variable? What if it wasn't always the same? Amen? If one company would give you 3/4 of a gallon and tell you it was a gallon, what would happen? Well, you'd be up in arms, right? They would be guilty of cheating the consumer. The Food and Drug Administration has a division that spends time inspecting the pharmaceutical companies. They want them to give 1,000 milligrams if 1,000 milligrams are required, right? 1,000 milligrams equals 1,000 milligrams. There is these agencies that are governing that kind of thing. It would be catastrophic to our health if they didn't have exact measurements of these medicines. Am I right? The building industry is also regulated by inspectors who have determined that 12 inches equals a foot. Right? 12 inches equals a foot. Can you imagine the engineering disasters? Disasters. If the measurements deviated, it would be terrible. It would be a state of chaos. There are countless measurements that we could explore. For instance, the matter of time has an extreme impact on how well airports function, hospital schedules procedures, right? how the shipping industry works? It's all connected to our time and exact measurements, right? What about the matter of money? Wouldn't it be terrible if this had a variable to it? A man's going to pay you a dollar, but you only get 50 cents. It would be awful, folks. The order and operation of our world would be negatively impacted by any variability in these areas. Be catastrophic. This can also be said of our spiritual world. There's a course that men are on. They move forward in the spiritual world, and it's not just on a daily time frame, but it's on an eternal path. Measurements are included in the Word of God that will help us determine which way to go. Don't you want to know which way to go? I want to know which way to go. In fact, one of my prayers is the Holy Spirit, tap me on the right shoulder if you want me to go right. Tap me on the left shoulder if you want me to go left. Let it be known. Let it be known. If you have to, write it in the skies, Lord. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? All right. There is a book that was written, listen to this, in 1666. Wow. Author's name was Thomas Watson. It was had 12 chapters in it, and it was written to expressly tell what a godly man looks like. A godly man looks like. Now, it was quite popular back 400 years ago when men were very cognizant of their spiritual condition. But its popularity has long been gone. It's departed from our society. It will never make the New York Times bestseller again. Right? Come on. In it, the author lists 24 different points to express what a godly man looks like. 24 points. He's found these in a Bible. And it is a sense of measurement that helped men in a bygone era to understand what God was longing for. According to Watson, he discovered that the Bible said that a godly man, let me give you these 24 points, a man of knowledge, a man moved by faith, a man fired by love, a man like God, a man careful about the worship of God, a man who serves God and not men, a man who prizes Jesus Christ, a man who can weep. Well, I fit that one. A man who loves the Word, a man who has the Spirit of God residing in him, a man of humility, a man of prayer, a man of sincerity, a heavenly man, a zealous man, a patient man, a thankful man, a man who loves the saints, a man who does not indulge himself in sin, a man who is good in his relationships, a man who does spiritual things in a spiritual manner, a man thoroughly trained in religion, a man who walks with God, a man who strives to be an instrument for making others godly. 24 different things. Kind of sounds like Proverbs chapter 31 for you ladies. That's what God's looking for. That's what He's asking for. Amen? So instead of men pursuing the American dream or chasing after empty pots of gold, or giving themselves a pass to be lazy and check out on responsibility, there are some measurements that are going to require some work to obtain. Are you with me? A good amen would be helpful right here. Okay. I didn't hear the men, I just heard the ladies. What if there was just a handful of men in this city who wanted to say, I want to measure up to God's expectations of me. Folks, we would live in a different community. We would everything would change. So my prayer on this Father's Day of 2018 is that we pursue the things that God measures men by. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, and read it again. It says, but you, O man, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Our text this morning originates in the pastoral epistles, meaning that it was written by Paul to Pastor Timothy, and it has emphasis on those who are in spiritual leadership. However, it's important for us to understand that every man who comes into the kingdom of God is designated as a man of God with a spiritual role, whether he's in the pulpit or not. Amen. So every father is preaching with his life as well as his words. Every father is preaching with his life as well as his words. There is an old parable told by a Haitian pastor. He says that there was a man who wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man in the area desperately wanted to buy it, but he did not have the means to do so. After a lot of bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for $1,000. However, the reduced price came with a stipulation. The owner would be able to retain ownership of a large nail that was just above the front door. Large nail. Several years passed, and the original owner decided he wanted to buy the house back. Understandably, the new owner was unwilling to sell it back to him. So the original owner goes out and finds the carcass of a dead dog and hangs it on the nail right above the front door. It was the nail he still owned. It was his. It wasn't too long before the house became unlivable and the family was forced to sell the home to the prior owner. The Haitian pastor concluded the story, if we leave the devil with even one small pig in our life, he will return and hang his rotting garbage on it. Amen. Amen. If the enemy has access to just a single nail in your life, he will exploit it. He will exploit it. Are there any nails hanging over the doorway to your life? Wow. Men, don't give the devil any room to take advantage of you. Don't let the devil take advantage of you. Listen again to the instructions of Paul, 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When Paul was writing these words to Timothy, he used a Greek word for flee. For flee, it's spelled P-H-E-U-G-O, and it's pronounced fuge. Fuge. We get the English word fugitive from this root word, and fugitive means to literally seek safety by flight. Seek safety by flight. You are to flee from the devil's design because it's dangerous to your soul. Amen? Ancient literature used this word in relation to fleeing from a snake or a dragon. Fuge. So a man of God is measured by those things he flees from. He flees from. There are also other places where Paul told us to flee. He said in 1 Corinthians 6:18 to flee from fornication. He said in 1 Corinthians 10:14 to flee from idolatry. He said in 1 Timothy 6:11, flee from covetousness and the love of money. And he said in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee from youthful lust. Amen? This is still good advice for our generation because we live in a sensual, idolatrous, money-loving, lustful society. Hallelujah. Every device the devil can use to ruin your life, he will. So we flee before he gets a hold of us. We flee. Now in 1 Timothy 6, Paul was actually talking about fleeing from the clutches of greed. Listen to 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 10. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we have brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You've never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. Never. Amen. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall in temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Men, flee from it. Flee from it. This is an enticing, deadly trap that has been promoted to the highest level in America. Greed will hide itself, and then before a man realizes it, the trap has slapped shut, and he is caught on a never-ending treadmill. Yeah. Greed. In his book, Counterfeit Gods, Tim Keller writes this paragraph. He says this, "Why can't anyone in the grip of greed see it? The counterfeit god of money uses powerful sociological and psychological dynamics. Everyone tends to live in a particular socioeconomic bracket. Once you are able to afford to live in a particular neighborhood, send your children to its schools, and participate in its social life, you will find yourself surrounded by quite a number of people who have more money than you. You worked hard to get there, but now you find people that have a lot more money than you. You don't compare yourself to the rest of the world. You compare yourself to those in your bracket, right there, in your little old place. The human heart always wants to justify itself, and this is one of the easiest ways. You say, I don't live as well as him or her or them. My means are modest compared to theirs. You may be living in a $400,000 house, but the guy next door got a $500,000 house. So you're modest. You can reason and think like that, he said, no matter how lavishly you're living. As a result, most Americans think of themselves as middle class, and only 2% call themselves upper class. But the rest of the world is not fooled. when people visit here from other parts of the globe, they are staggered to see the level of materialistic comfort that the majority of Americans have come to view as a necessity. Necessity. The Lord had many warnings over indulgences, yet most of us rarely even consider the sin of greed. In two places, Paul characterized greed as a form of idolatry. He said that in Colossians 3:5 and Ephesians 5:5. Listen, folks, as a man, I am measured by the things I flee from. And in the context of this scripture, I am to flee with all my strength against greed. All my strength against greed. At the end of the day, no man will ever be measured by how many hours he spent at the job, how much money he made, and how many possessions he owns. Therefore, the real value of a man's life is what he determines to flee from. Are you with me? So, what if you decide to flee from these entanglements? You will discover that there will be in their place virtues that pour into your life. Amen. Virtues. Paul says in these verses that God will bless you with godliness, contentment, humility, perseverance, and other spiritual strengths that are offered to the one who flees from greed. Secondly, a man is measured by what he follows after. What he flees from and what he follows after. We are to seek these things with the same amount of energy that we have used to flee from the trappings of this world. Amen. Yeah. Amen? The word that Paul used in our text gives the indication that it is a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong pursuit. Make it a goal in your life to achieve six things. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, or meekness. So a man of faith will find himself coveting or pursuing these everlasting possessions of the soul. And I believe as you continue following after these qualities, you will develop a spiritual focus for your personal life. Once a man develops a desire to seek spiritual growth, it will be extremely difficult for him to be turned away from his goal. Extremely. Next, a man is also measured by what he fights for. What he fights for. In our text, it says, fight the good fight, and that literally means agonize the good agony. Agonize the good agony. Paul is informing us that every step of the way there will be a fight in which we must contend. A fight all the time. That's because there are adversaries that if you really could see them, they would terrify you. Really. Praise God, you don't walk by what you see. You walk with a faith-filled confidence and trust in the Lord. Amen? 1 Timothy 1:18 says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. The good warfare. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 5 says it this way, they shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Men don't check out on the fight. Our generation must become fighting men, because there's too much at stake. We need to get on the battle gear more than ever before. Stay at your battle stations. Have your weapons ready. Keep in communication with the commander in chief, and take the ground for Jesus. Amen. He will surely bring you the victory. Now, I got a story for you. I want you to hear this. True story. It was an experiment that took place almost 30 years ago at the National Institute of Mental Health, funded by your tax dollars if you had a job 30 years ago. The experiment took place in a 9-foot square cage designed to hold 160 mice. They placed 8 mice into this cage. Over a 2.5-year time frame, the colony of mice grew from 8 to 2,200 mice. As the population grew, the researchers, led by Dr. John Calhoun, began to observe changes in the mice's behavior. The summary was this. Adults formed into cliques of about a dozen mice per group. They formed cliques. Ever seen a mouse clique? Second thing, the males who normally protected their territory withdrew from leadership and became uncharacteristic passive. The females became unusually aggressive. The whole mouse society became disrupted. After 5 years, all the mice had died, even though there was an abundance of food, water, and resources, and an absence of disease. While we aren't mice, there are some similarities in the way that males in the mouse society and the human society are related. As men, there is a tendency to want to check out and let the world pass by. George Barna has identified some troubling statistics for the church at large in America. Women are twice as likely to be involved in discipleship within the church as men are. They are 57% more likely to attend Sunday school. They are 56% more likely to hold a leadership position. they are 54% more likely to participate in a small group. Are y'all seeing some similarity between the mice village and the men of church? A godly man is measured for what he fights for. What he fights for. Men, we cannot become disconnected and isolated from the house of God. It is essential that we take the fight to the devil instead of running from it. Can I say that again? It is essential that we take the fight to the devil instead of running away from it. Now, I look back over the things that I've been preaching to you over the last couple of years, and it came out as three different topics. The first one was love for God and His people. Love for God and His people. The second one was prayer. And the third one was that you are in a spiritual battle. You are in a spiritual battle. Now, there are a number of vitally important things that we should be willing to fight for. Fight for your own personal identity as a man. I remember a show, I hope no men in here have an earring. I remember a show years ago, had a police chief in it, and had a daughter, and here comes a boyfriend, and he's got an earring. And that police chief, he says, "Does your dad know you have that thing?" Men, I want you to be proud that you're a man. That you're a man. Fight the battle for personal holiness. Fight the fight for your family. Doing whatever's necessary, even hard things, to bring peace into your home. Defend your wife. Fight through the pain of living in a fallen world. Fight for some close, godly friends. Fight for a strong faith. A number of years ago, a deadly disaster was averted because of the prayers of a fighting father. Pastor Anthony Mangum and his father-in-law, James Lumpkin, along with Pastor Mangum's son, Gentry, all went out on the lake for an afternoon of water skiing. The boat was loaded with skiing equipment and the gas tanks were filled for what they expected to be an afternoon of great fun. At some point during the trip, for whatever reason, the gas tanks burst into flames and the boat caught on fire with a small explosion taking place. All three men were tossed into the water. Here was Pastor Anthony, his son Gentry, and his father-in-law with a burning boat in the deep water of the lake to contend with. Can you imagine the fear and the panic that was going through their minds, the uncertainty that these men faced on that day? And although the boat was severely damaged, none of them were hurt. And another boat nearby saw the explosion, came over, and rescued, pulled them out of the lake, all three of them out of the lake. There's more to the story. Earlier in the week, Pastor G.A. Mangum had felt a pressing burden to pray for his son, Pastor Anthony. Not only was the father known for his praying, he was also known for his fasting. So he did not eat for several days. He would go to church early in the morning, and before dawn even, and spend hours praying for his son without really knowing what the need was. Several times throughout the week, the father would ask his son, "Pastor Anthony, is everything all right? Is everything okay?" And he'd reply back, "He's doing fine. All was well." What neither of these men knew was that there was a God who was pushing a father to fight a fight on his knees. Prayer rooms, prayer altars, the lingering prayer, prayer times, it just does so much for us, folks. Does so much for us. On that day, because of the elder pastor's prayers, there were angels hovering over the son, a grandson, and a dear friend. It very well could have been the same angels that saved Daniel in the lion's den. Could have been the same angels that wiped out armies during Isaiah and Hezekiah's time. But on that day, their assignment was at a lake in Alexandria because of the prayers of a fighting father. Brothers, I hope I've expressed to you the need to be measured by what we flee from, what we follow after, and what we fight for. When God created man, he put the strength in him to defeat the wiles of the enemy, along with the wisdom to lead and guide the people surrounding him into the truth that only God provides. This morning, my prayer is that I've convinced every man here not to quit, not to take the easy way out, but to follow the edicts of Almighty God and be measured as a man of God. That's the plan for you. Straight out of the Word. That's the plan. So men, rise up. I wish more of you were here. Take your place. The women who love you, the children who idolize you, need the strength and the guidance and the protection that only you can give. Only you can give. Fight the good fight. Be measured as a man of God. No matter how hard it is to do the right thing, do it. Do it. So God bless you on this Father's Day 2018. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together, folks. If your ears were burning, it's your fault. Hallelujah. I want to thank you all for filling these chains.